West Tigers fans, our boys, they took on the reigning grand finalists, but this week they're taking on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Can we get a win this weekend? Let's preview the game on another episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. We are presented every week, every episode, by Holman Barnes Group, including West Ashfield, the best place to watch the game live and loud on Saturday. If you're not heading out to Homebush to watch the Doggies, head to West Ashfield, watch it on the big screen. At West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter, give us a follow. And on the profile of those pages, you'll find our Linktree link, or go to westtigers.com.au if you're looking for anything, be it our YouTube channel. Shouts to all of our regulars and Sam all piling into the stream again. We thank and love every one of you. While you're on YouTube, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do, pushing towards that 1,000 mark as well. And even if you don't normally, you don't like the YouTube, you listen on audio, please just go over. We really want to, I think we need 80, 70 something more to hit that 1,000 mark. So please do so. And patreon.com/WestLife. We'll get to our Patreon members. I promise that we get to their rants and questions and that sort of thing from the Discord. We had a huge show on Monday night and kind of a little less show tonight. I'm not predicting 100 minutes in this episode. And I'll throw to the stats man, Mr. Thompson. How are you this evening?
Yeah, g'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. G'day, everyone who's watching or listening. Pretty good, mate. Pretty keen for a game at Homebush on Saturday, Arvo. It seems like I'm going to need a poncho, though. Looks like it's going to be a bit of a wet one.
Yeah, the weather will be a little bit of touch and go. It's a shame because even just the prediction of weather will bring crowds down for a game. So I hope, I myself been looking at tickets and it's just kind of annoying that you can't buy upper level tickets knowing that, because at least you know you're under shelter, the roof at ANZ
Stadium. Guarantee staying dry.
Well, a core stadium, sorry. Yeah, it only kind of reaches, I reckon if you're in row Z, you might be all right in the front section. But yeah, be as it may, brave the rain, support the boys. Speaking of a little bit grey, Mr. Bashara, you a little bit under the weather, so you got the camera. We can't see the red room. I assume you're in the red room tonight, but camera off tonight because, a little bit I'll let you take it from there. But how are you this evening, Roberto? I hope you're feeling better.
Other than my eyes, guys, I'm well. I hope you're all well. G'day, everyone out there. Unfortunately, Red Room Rob has matching eyes as well. So a little bit of excessive use of the contact lenses, and I need a couple of days without them. So, on the positive, this is the best I've ever looked on the show. So I hope the viewers enjoy it.
Righto, seeing all the regulars in. Who are we going to see? Blake, Shane, Smiling Sane, Matt, Tom, John, Magpie Nate. That's a new one. Nice. Welcome along, Magpie Nate. Let's get into another show. If you are listening back on the audio, join us on Monday night, 8:30. It's a lot of fun. So thank you for everyone joining us on the stream tonight. Shout out to West Ashfield, our major sponsor of the West Life podcast. As we've mentioned on the show many times the last few weeks since it's opened, the Villaggio Italian restaurant, they're doing schnitzel nights on Wednesday. So head to, you get a $17.90 schnitzel with a choice of a couple of sides. So go have a snitty on a Wednesday night and then, fill your bellies up. Listen, you can listen to us on the way home, I guess. If you're in the car, chuck the YouTube stream on with your belly full of chicken snitty and a couple of skewies and listen to the West Life podcast. So Wednesday nights, we'll have to do a show with the snitties under our chins. I'm sure eating on the air is definitely what the listeners want to want to hear. Chasebet.com.au as well, or you'll find the link in our profile pages to Chasebet. And if you sign up, yeah, use that link and message you guys in the chat. The friendly, small little team there, Chasebet, they'll look after you. Say Westlife sent you, and yeah, see what they can do for you if you are like to have a punt on the ponies or sports and everything in between, even NBA. If you had a look, you got Rob. You said I didn't mention it on Monday. I was a little bit nervous, but maybe put some money on Nikola Jokic Finals MVP. Yeah, that's my early Rob Stradamus of the night. But we'll get to the actual Rob Stradamus later in the show. Let's get into the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs v West Tigers game 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. As run us through the West Tigers team list.
No worries. So Dream Buller at fullback with Charlie Staines and Solomon Aliamalo on the wings. Brent Naden and Justin Ollam in the centres, Lockie Galvin and Aiden Caesar in the halves, Stefano Utuikamanu and David Clemmer as props with Api Korosau at hooker, Isaiah Papali'i and Samuela Fainu in the second row with John Bateman at lock, Latu Fainu, Alex Twal, Alex Saifarth and Fanua Pole are on the bench, Jake Simpkin is 18th man, and the reserves are Stafford Toa, Asu Kepa'oa, Alex Lobb and Solomona Fa'atape.
So exactly zero changes by Benji Marshall this week, as
the only change is Star in the reserves replacing Talon De Silva.
Yeah. So look, Appy obviously under injury cloud, apparently hasn't trained all week, but they are saying that they're pretty confident that he'll play. Roberto, do you think Appy will be right to go? Obviously, a back playing with a sore back, not ideal,
it's definitely not ideal. It depends on really how bad it is. Benji's said publicly that if he's not 100%, he's not going to play him. Obviously, this is a must-win game. We've lost four games in a row, so we need him there. And I think we do have a little bit of an edge in the front row. So I think with his guile, you know, that's where we'll want to play, you know, a lot of our footy. I'm hoping he's there. And, you know, if Talon's not on that extended bench, I guess it'd be what Jake and Latu sharing the hooking role. So look, I hope Appy's there. I'm sure he'll play. But again, he did come off, you know, early in midway through the second half on Saturday night. So look, I really haven't got any info and I haven't really tried to seek any information, but I hope he'll be there. I mean, he's hard enough to get off the field at the best of times, so I'm sure he'll want to play.
As obviously, at the very least, he can't play 80 minutes. Expect Latu Fainu to come in. How do you think they're going to use Latu?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I honestly thought we'd maybe bring Jake Simpkin in to give Appy a little bit of a break, because Jake is a much more recognized dummy half, while I think Latu is more of a halfback. So it's a bit of a strange one, but I know he can play a bit of hooker as well. So I don't know. I think they'll probably do similar to what happened last week. Maybe Latu comes on mid second half, although we've talked a few times before about how we'd much prefer having a reserve hooker come into the game probably about 30 minutes into the first half, and then bringing Appy back in with about 20 to 25 minutes left in the game. So I think that's probably what we'd like to see, but I don't think we will see that.
Rob Bateman at lock again. We had a bit of a discussion in the Discord, and I think it was a few people commenting on Monday's show. A few people prefer him on an edge. What do you think Benji's theory of leaving him in the middle is?
I think it's just out of necessity. It's the best of a bunch of bad options. But that said, I thought he was excellent the other night and gave it his all, did a mountain of work, obviously missed some tackles, but did over 45 tackles, was still ball playing, still looked dangerous, ran the ball hard, did a lot of kick pressure, you know, first one there in the chase. So, you know, we're going to need him to back that up again. But again, we're really searching for a true ball playing lock. And I said it on Monday night, I still think he's a right edge back rower, but you know, we've played him left edge all year. So, and I guess that's to have someone with a lot of experience next to Lachie Galvin. But look, in Benji we trust, and it's going to be a monumental effort to try and get a win, boys, because having lost four in a row, I'm not sure what Canterbury are up to. I think they might have won one or two in a row. It's probably actually good that Canterbury have had the bye, because they had a little bit of momentum going. So hopefully they've had a bit of a break and put their feet up and said, oh, we're playing the Tigers. They've lost a few in a row. But yeah, I guess we're going to be, you know, as long as we're not losing badly, I think we'll find Bateman in the middle for most of the rest of the year.
As is there anyone outside the 17? Look, a lot of people talk about the depth this year. This is basically the best 17 that we can put on the park. So we can't, despite, I don't know, what we think about who, what number, which player should wear, we can't. I mean, you could, well, I guess you can make an argument for Adam Dwayhe when he comes back, but yeah, this is basically what we're rolling with, I guess, unless you want to start running with some younger kids coming through.
Yeah, basically. Obviously, a lot of people would probably say Junior Tupou would be one of our first choice wingers, although he hasn't been playing quite to form this year, and he's not going to be here next year anyway. I'm surprised. Maybe Stafford Toa is being held back for a week, because I have a feeling he might come into the 17, possibly next week, for maybe Naden in the centres. I feel like that's an option there, or maybe a Naden move to the wing and a Solomon out of the team sort of thing. But I don't know. Otherwise, we do feel pretty close to full strength. I'd say they're probably the only two players that would be in our 17 that aren't currently, as well as, I think maybe Jake Simpkin as a recognised dummy half, although maybe Benji's thought is Latu has a little bit more utility value.
Rob, as mentioned, possibly moving Naden there, I'll probably push back on. I know you're just trying to think of ideas, but I think Naden Olam has to be the centre pairing. The wingers, Alamalo, club debut last week. Do you think he'll have a better second game this week?
Oh, look, I hope he would, but we've got to be fair, guys. It was his first game in top grade. It wasn't like he was planned to play there. He's only there because Tupou was there. Tupou was out, so he's really only had, you know, a week to get ready for it. Look, there were some signs last week that were encouraging. Like, obviously, he nearly scored in the left-hand corner in the second half, and he ran the ball pretty hard. But at the same time, there were some discouraging things. I think if you notice when Jareem Buller dropped an early kick later on in the half, I think Adam Reynolds just put a standard torpedo punt down the field, and young Solomon didn't even attempt to catch it. It went right next to him. He let it bounce and let it roll near the dead ball line. And also in the second half, when a reasonably high kick went up, Jareem Buller and Alamalo just stared at each other, and like, no one knew who was going to take the ball. Like, there's got to be more talk and more communication amongst them. So if Stafford Toa is fit, I'd actually see him coming straight onto the wing and leaving Naden in the centres. Naden was pretty solid. He got beaten a couple of times, but generally I thought Naden had a pretty good game. So I'd feel a lot safer if Stafford Toa was in the team. Not that his defence is great, but he's just obviously had a lot more first grade experience than a one gamer.
How are you feeling about the four pack, Roberto? They're definitely ripping in this year. They seem, I know a lot of people are saying the team kind of looks a bit tired, a bit fatigued, because obviously a few of our stars have kind of dropped off a little bit. Do you think, I mean, it sucks. One of the bad things about having the bye first, I guess, I think they need a bit of a rest, but they're not getting it for a while.
No, look, I think, well, just looking at that starting six in our pack, I can't look at any of those names and say anyone played badly last week. I actually think they all played great. I mean, Steph played a bit more of a ball-playing role, but David Clemmer was really solid. Papali'i, I thought, was great. I've already mentioned Bateman. Samuel Afenu was Aaron's best player for the night. He played pretty well. So I've got no problems with our forwards. It's just, I think when you lose four games in a row, just for me, like, I love the team. I love how there's little, you know, shoots of improvement. But at the same time, when you lose four in a row, you just kind of like, do I trust our team to win? Like, I feel like even though Canterbury have got some positional changes, which we'll get onto shortly, I just feel like they might be fractionally more trustworthy, although I'm not crazy about their front row. Granted, Marnie's a really good hooker. But yeah, they just seem to be a little bit more settled. They seem to be finding their groove more. But what you mentioned about Alamalu, the thing I'm worried about too, guys, especially after last Saturday, and I guess we'll talk about how the game pans out and all the matchups and what have you, but you can imagine Burton just putting up these monstrous bombs this week. Because if we're just staring at each other between the fullback and the winger and letting balls bounce and seeing Jareem, you know, mess up quite a few balls, I mean, if Burton gets onto some of those torpedoes like Adam Reynolds did, you know, it could be, especially in the wet weather, it could be a really sort of difficult afternoon for the back three.
Yeah, definitely.
Someone in the comments on Monday mentioned that, I think, or maybe it was someone in the Discord sometime during the week that Burton's bombs could be a bit of a problem for our team.
Yeah, they should. He gets the torp on him. Like I noticed a lot of times he still gets them really high, but he's kind of doing more of the traditional bombs this year. I don't know if it's because he's maybe skewed a couple off the side of the foot late last year, but gosh, when he gets onto a proper torpedo bomb, there's no one in the game that's got a bigger boot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His spirals are deadly.
Yeah, they're incredible. And yeah, like you said, the wet weather and the grey skies as well, the ball get lost a lot easier with the cloud behind it as well. Just bring up Matt McNally on McNally. Thank you. I was thinking of Rand McNally from The Simpsons. Sorry, Matt. He said, is Justin Matamu injured? I believe he's suspended. Is that right? He got suspended.
He is suspended. Yeah.
Last week. So that's why.
I think it's only a 1 week. I don't know off the top of my head though.
Yeah. Would you bring Matamua? He got a crack. Which game was it that he got a crack? Was it Penrith game?
Dragons.
He came in? Dragons, yeah. Would you bring Matamua in, assuming he could play?
I honestly thought he played quite well. And if he was available, I see him as a decent option potentially in the 13, which would move Johnny Bateman back into the second row and Sam Fainu back to the bench at the expense of, honestly, I don't know which of the four of them you'd drop at this point, because they've all been pretty solid in their own ways. But yeah, I do feel like maybe he should get a crack at 13, because he showed a decent bit there as a bit of a ball-playing lock in that game against the Bears on Saturday arvo.
Righto, let's go into the Doggies team, as.
Too easy. So fullback is Connor Tracy, Jacob Carraz, and Josh Adokar on the wings, Bronson Jerry and Stephen Crichton in the centres, with Matt Burton and Drew Hutchinson in the halves. Max King and Josh Curran are the props, with Reid Marnie at hooker. Viliami Kikau and Jamin Salmon are the second rowers, with Kurt Mann at lock. Bailey Haywood, Samuel Hughes, Curtis Moran, and Blake Taff are on the bench, with Blake Wilson 18th man, and their reserves are Pawasa Farmasili, Toby Sexton, Jacob Preston, and Jake Turpin.
Rob, we're heavy outsiders in the betting for this. Like there's some good, obviously plenty of talent, especially like some names in the back line. They're playing a lot better. They're not the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs of the last few sets. They are playing a little bit better football this year, but I don't know. Call me biased. I think this side doesn't look. I wouldn't say I'm confident that we're going to win, but it's a winnable game. I think, like, I'll be disappointed if we don't win this.
Again, like, I think we're very similar in how we play and what we're trying to achieve as clubs in trying to get off the bottom of the table. I think just looking, if I have to compare the two, Canterbury are more potent. Like, they do have more points in them, although our team should have as many points in us, but we're just not doing that. But yeah, if you look at that back line, I mean, I know they've moved Connor Tracy around a fair bit. I think he was in for Adokar when he was out, and he was in for Blake Wilson when he was out. So he's played left wing, right wing. Now he's at fullback. And I think he might have had a game at fullback prior to the bye there. But, you know, obviously, like, Stephen Crichton on Justin Ollam, I mean, that they would have seen what the Broncos did last week, working to the left and then shifting the ball to the right. But again, that said, like, how good's Kikau been this year? Kikau has been on fire. So the matchup with Kikau and Papali'i will be huge. And obviously, Adokar's in pretty good try-scoring form as well. So, look, they've got enough strike there. Their back row, even though they're not traditional, like, I wouldn't say Kurt Mann's a traditional 13, and Salmon, you know, is a back rower slash, I don't know, hybrid 5-8. Like, they're not solid, but, like, they're capable and they're potent, and they can score a try and they can create an offload. So they've got enough there to give you a hard time. But if we play to our strengths, we should just be rolling through the middle of these blokes all day long and just getting that rotation going and, you know, giving Steph a break after 25 or 30 and getting Bolle on and running off the back fence and just keep getting these guys, getting to our kicks, put them in the corners and just hope they make some mistakes. Because if they get in our quarter line, guys, they're going to be pretty dangerous. They do some good backline shifts.
As, how are you feeling looking at this lineup?
Not too bad. Like you said, this is a very winnable game, and I will be, like you, I will be a little bit disappointed if we don't win. I agree with Rob. Viliami Kikau's been in absolutely supreme form this year, and yeah, Connor Tracy's a bit of a man of many talents, having filled in a few positions. And just to add to what Rob said, yes, Tracy did play at fullback before their bye. It was while Blake Taff was out HIA. After that Roosters game where he got absolutely poleaxed. Otherwise, Matt Burton is obviously a danger in the halves. Drew Hutchinson, I haven't really seen too much of Drew this year, so I'm not exactly sure what to expect with them, but their bench is bringing a lot of impact as well. The likes of Sam Hughes and Curtis Morin in particular have been quite good. Max King, Josh Curran, a very good front row pair, and Reid Marnie's always dangerous at hooker. He's been a bit chirpy this year though, so maybe get under his skin a little bit if we can, and force some errors out of him potentially that way. Might put us in a good position.
Rob, anything in terms of the four? We talked about the four pack a little bit already, but yeah, that, I mean, for me, if it's wet weather, do you have the confidence that our boys can? Do you have a little bit more confidence in our boys? Because I feel like the arm wrestle, our boys are up for it.
Yeah, I look, there's good and bad to that, because if it's wet weather, then it makes diffusing grubber kicks and high kicks really difficult. We also saw last weekend from the Broncos the cross kick as well. It's not like Josh Adokar's not the only fast guy there. Jacob Carraz is really fast as well. But yeah, like wet weather, you know, obviously to certainly nullify Stephen Crichton's, you know, fleet-footed sidesteps. So, look, I really don't know how this game's going to go. Like I said, I just hope Canterbury come out flat and we can come out on top. But if we give Canterbury a bit of confidence and they get ahead and we have to chase points, we've found that it's pretty hard to chase points this year. So, look, I hope we win. We bloody hell, we're due for a win. It seems like an age ago that we beat Parramatta. So, I if we don't win this week, boys, it's almost queue in the rack time and you know, start experimenting, you know, with some different halves combinations and lock and second row combinations. Just mix it up a little bit, because if you can't beat Canterbury, you can't beat St. George, you can't beat the Dolphins, like three teams that were pretty lowly ranked last year, then, you know, what chance do you have of beating the other teams?
We played Penrith coming off their bye a couple of weeks ago, and obviously we scored first in that game. So if we score first in this one and we're able to keep the momentum rolling a little bit, that'll go a long way to us potentially winning the game. I feel a lot better about our chances with Appy and the team, but in saying that, we've still got to get on the front foot and kind of stay on the front foot and not really give them an opportunity to get into the game, especially if they do start a little bit slow, because that's what cost us when we played Penrith. We started quick, but then we gave them an opportunity to get back into the game, albeit after a bit of a dodgy call against us. But if we can avoid similar things happening to us with the Dogs, then I think we're in a much better position to win this particular game.
Just trialing the our YouTube is live at the moment on the stream as well. So anyone watching on the YouTube stream, we can stream to YouTube, but I can't actually bring your comments up like I can on Facebook or YouTube. So if you're watching on Instagram and you're liking it, head over to our YouTube, the Westlife Pod YouTube channel, and join the stream. So Righto, stats man, what have you got for us?
So, there's been a lot of talk recently about our record at Campbelltown and the fact that we don't do so well there, and then potentially moving our home ground to other places. So I kind of wanted to have a look to see what our Homebush record is like in comparison to Campbelltown and Leichhardt. Overall, we actually have a lower win percentage at Homebush than we do at Campbelltown, but only just. I don't know when this website was last updated, but at the time of the update, we had played 91 games at Campbelltown for a 41.21 win percentage, and we've played 90 at Homebush for a win percentage of 40. So we have barely less of a win percentage at Homebush. Obviously, Leichhardt is one of the very few grounds that we have a win percentage at. So I don't know why people keep wanting to bring up the conversation about us moving our home venue, or like the question that Benji was asked at the press conference the other day about, is it time to move away from Campbelltown? And it was a really stupid question. Yeah. When in general, we're a team that hasn't had a lot of success. So our overall win records at pretty much all grounds are quite low.
Does that include home games as well?
Yeah. So Stadium Australia, it just says here 90 games played for 36 wins and 54 losses. I would imagine that's home and away games.
Yeah. I mean, not that it'd make that much a difference at Homebush, but I wonder if we won more. If we're the home team, do we win more? But I guess it doesn't really. I mean, you probably have more of the majority of the crowd, but yeah, I mean, you're that far away at a core stadium, I guess it doesn't really make any difference. I just got up on the screen for those watching. So our previous games all the way back to 2010. So yeah, look, there was a good run there through COVID, like pretty tumultuous years for us, but we got four out of five against them there. So 2020 beat them twice at a crowdless Combank, and then a little bit of a crowd at Combank, and then beat them at a crowdless Robina. We played them on the Gold Coast, and then played them at the Dolphins Stadium and lost. And then Leichhardt, obviously, the three of us were at that one in 2022. That was a good night. Won that one 36-22, but the last two lost at Combank 22 and lost at Belmore early last year. Yeah, that almost a comeback at Belmore last year. Roberto, is there a Tigers Bulldogs game? Obviously, I mean, Tigers Dogs at Homebush, I think almost every West Tigers fan, or old enough to remember anyway, there's definitely one game that stands out.
Oh, for me, it's the massacre we put on them in 2005. I actually think I bought that replica Balmain jersey the week after the game. We were on fire. I think Canterbury kicked a penalty goal, and that was it. It was all downhill for us. I think we scored like 54 points maybe, or thereabouts. You can probably look it up. It was
52-2. Canterbury kicked a penalty goal. Like, they were up 2-0.
Yeah, they're up 2-0. That's what I was saying. We got the rest, but we put on some beautiful tries that night. Yeah. I remember even prior to 2005, I'm sure Darren Senna would have been the hooker. We beat him early in the year. It might have been 2004 or 2003, and we were like absolute rank outsider. It was at that showground. I think it was at the showground at Homebush, and we pulled off a miraculous upset. Like, I think we were $9 outsiders to win that game or something like that. So that always...
The Giant Stadium, is what you're talking about?
Whatever stadium is at Homebush. I just remember, like, we weren't expected to win. I wasn't at the game, but I think I watched it on TV. It was Saturday afternoon from memory. And, it was just an absolute pleasant surprise, because I think we beat Parramatta in the same season at ridiculous odds as well, at like $8 or $9 head-to-head. So we seem to like winning at those big odds.
Oh, yeah, 28-22 at Showground. Round one of 2002 season. Hassan Saylor. How do I pronounce that, Rob? Hassan. God, I'm bad at pronouncing names on this show. Hassan Saylor. I did know that. Hassan Saylor. Two tries and Darren, you said Darren Center got a double, didn't you?
I didn't say he got a double, but I just remember Darren Center having a really good game.
Yeah. He had a double. Benny Galea, the other try. Joel Kane, 4 out of 7. This Bulldog side, Luke Patton at fullback, Hazem El-Masri on the wing. Vaganaa and Talau, obviously Tommy's dad, isn't it? Willie Talau?
Yeah.
Yeah, Braithen Astor and Trindle in the halves. Rahihi, Stephen Price, front row. Corey Hughes, hooker. Darren Smith, Reardon, Travis Norton, Locke. And then the bench, Sherwin, Dennis Scott, Willie Mason, Jamie Feeney. It's like a decent... They won the comp. Was this the salary cap year or the next year?
The salary cap year was 2002. And the Bulldogs won the comp in 2004.
Four, yeah. So it took them 2 years to win. I was trying to think, was it 2003, 2002? Obviously a little bit too young to remember that one as, but yeah, good memory. Actually, yeah, I can't remember that game. I don't remember us ever playing at the Showground, but we played there 1, 2, 3 times against the Doggies in 2001, 2, and 3. There you go. So 54-2 it was in 2005. Let's relive that for a bit. So Fatawiro got a triple or a hat trick. Paddy Richards got 2. Brett Hodgson, Benji Marshall, Scotty Prince, and Benny Galea again popping up with a try. 9 out of 9 for Hodjo with the boot. I think Hodjo 22 points in a game. He broke some sort of record, I think, for most points. Might have been most points in a season.
He did most points in a semi-final, in our first semi-final in 2005 against the Cowboys.
That might have been it.
But I still, you just mentioned Benji Marshall, I still remember Benji Marshall running down the right wing. So if you're watching on TV, nearest side of the field, just running left to right and just absolutely streaking him before improving his position. Good times.
As any Dogs, any more recent Doggies, Tigers memories for you?
Yeah, I do have one. Probably one of the coolest memories I have from a footy game, actually. So it was the game against them at Accor on the 23rd of April, 2017, round 8. That was Anzac round, obviously. So my brother and I, we were sitting there in our seats waiting for the game to start. Basically, our seats there for the home games were like second row, right on the 40-meter line, on the right side of the tunnel. Sorry, the left side of the tunnel when you're like sitting in the stadium. So we were approached by one of the staff members from the Tigers who asked us if we both wanted to go onto the field for the Anzac ceremony. So, and we obviously said yes. So my brother and I were out there during the ceremony holding the New Zealand flag in front of the Tigers. Play in front of the team, and I actually still have the picture of me holding the flag in front of the team that day, which I thought was a really fun experience. And obviously we won that game with a late try to Kevin Nagama, I think it was. And that was a really good, really fun time.
That was the Kevin Nagama. He saves the ball from the dead ball line, flicks it back, and Tedesco.
That's right.
It? Our best that's Anzac right. jersey, yeah, I remember too. I have that jersey as well. I actually missed that game. I don't know. I was at my auntie's place watching that game for some reason. I think I was going somewhere the next day.
There was a good one. There was a good one, Josh, in 2009 at the football stadium. I think it might have been our last round of the year. And Canterbury were poised to win the minor premiership. And we absolutely smacked them.
34-12,
I'm not sure what the score was, but I just remember that was the year when we won a lot of games in a row and met up with Parramatta in that famous Jared Hayne clash where Parra kind of won and kept that role going, and we suffered a few injuries that night with Tuiaki and Robert Louis, and we never quite made it. But I still remember thinking that was almost as good a team as 2011. I wouldn't say as 10, but that team really should have made the semi-finals. It was a really good team.
Yeah, tries to Moulton, Ashford, Lawrence, Benji, Danny Galea, and Dean Halitau. I forgot Danny Galea had a stint.
Who was the other second rower that night? Josh, he was the CEO for Penrith for about 5 minutes.
Garrett, for us or the Dogs?
For us.
It was Gareth Ellis.
No, it might have been on the bench then. Corey someone. I can't think of his
Corey
name.
Corey Payne?
was it Corey Payne? Is he this? Is he the guy that went to Penrith as a CEO? I can't remember. I mean, it might have been. I think it was Corey Payne.
Alan Shurnack is on the bench, and David Gower maybe.
No, no, it was Corey Payne.
David Gower played.
I remember bumping into him and talking to him, and it was actually after I think the Bulldogs lost a grand final. It might have been in, obviously it would have been against South or even it might have even been against Melbourne, but. Yeah, it must have been against Melbourne, actually. Sorry if I'm rambling on a little bit, but I remember speaking to him a few days afterwards, just bumped into him at a bar and we were talking and, you know, sort of saying, oh, it must have been really, you know, disheartening to come so close to winning a premiership. Like, it's probably the best chance, you know, you've ever had. And he actually said, even though we didn't make the finals in 2009, he goes, I always thought the best chance of winning a comp was with the Tigers in 2009. He goes, we had such a good team and we underachieved so much.
Yeah, definitely. I was at the Chip and Chase, Jared Hayne game as well. So, Riff Raff said, he's complimenting my good memory. It's weird. My memory, Simpsons quotes, obviously, things based around the West Tigers. I literally, to ramble on a little bit today, I booked tickets to see Jim Jefferies later in the year. My mate goes, you're going to have to remind me when the date is. And I'm like, this is how I remember. I know it's following when we play the Knights. My whole life is just based around the West Tigers draw. So that's just how my brain works. I think as you're a little bit the same there as well. So if it's West Tigers related, it'll be in there. But my wife will tell me something and 5 minutes later I'll be like, oh, shit. What'd she say again? So it's a problem. I probably should seek help, but anyway, anything else to add? You're on mute there.
Oop, didn't realize I was muted. Nothing to add. I just laughed a little bit at some of the
things. I saw you laughing on the screen. I'm like, man, I had a laugh track from Az perfectly there for my story. Finally, one of my stories worked out well. Az is laughing and his mic was off. Anyway, Rob Sidamas, what do you got for us this week?
These are the four things I like this week. Unfortunately, one of them is a Bulldogs scorer, but I've gone the Titans with 13.5. I think Melbourne, you know, should they win, they won't like, I'll kind of put the queue in the rack. I mean, they've got a Wishart on the wing and it's not Rod Wishart. So I find it interesting to have a hooker half on the wing there. So I think that's a bit of a liability there. And the Dragons, they hate Cronulla. And I know they got thrashed, but they never stopped trying against the Roosters. I think the Dragons actually could almost cause an upset here, but I think the 13.5 is a really safe bet. So I've gone Dragons, Titans, and with the anytime try scorers, I'm a little bit worried about our debutant from last week. And obviously we got Mariner. Mariner scored a try against him. And I feel like with Crichton and what he can do against Solom, if he just gets that overlap and draws our young winger in, Karaz might even get one or two tries. And I've gone Kyle Felt. Who were the Cowboys got again, Josh? Just refresh my memory.
As Dolphins. Bring it up.
The Thank Dolphins. You. Okay, yeah. So, again, it's back to, like, even though I'm picking a winger, it goes back to who the center is in the opposition team. Tessie New is not a first grader, guys. Like, seriously, he's the worst defender. People get around him all the time. So I can just see whoever it is for, you know, the Cowboys getting around him and Kyle Felt going over untouched. So look, they're the four things I like, whether you want to multi them together or play them in your own different ways. But I think a lot of outsiders are actually going to cover the line this week. So there's a few other games, but I mean, you can't tip everyone.
Brendan W again, sending us a super chat. Thank you, Brendan. He says, see you guys at the game. Tigers W incoming. As you've got your tickets. Mine yet, but I mean, they're literally walking distance for me. So selfishly, I really want us to play it at a Cork because it's perfect for me. As much as I do,
it's not too bad for me either because I can just drive down to yours, park out the front.
You can just park in my garage. Yeah, walk over. As do you want to? Where are you sitting? You're sitting the what do you call it? Away fans bay.
Yeah, so I'm in the reserved away fans bay, which I'm pretty sure is 105. Just almost probably around like the 20 to 30 meter line. So I'm around that general area, not too far from the general admission away fan section, which is, I think, just a little bit to my left.
Roberto, will you be able to see the game? Are you going to go?
I'll be able to see the game. Look, I'm choosing not to go to the game. I can go to the game, but I've got a dinner on Saturday night. I've got a wedding on Sunday. I just thought, you know what, I'll just chill back in the red room and just have a nice, quiet Saturday afternoon channel surfing and until 3 o'clock when the boys start.
Saturday afternoon too. It's Saturday afternoon. Could be able to have the remote in hand on a Saturday afternoon, I guess. Got to flick between.
There's nothing better, is there?
The putty and sky racing, I guess. And that's fair enough. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll probably aim for where you're sitting as. I'm just waiting to see what the weather does. It's like I said, it's annoying not being able to get
complicated things a bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking about you taking the young bloke too. So I really can't, sit in the rain. So hopefully, come on, guys, open up. If you're listening, a core stadium, what's it called? SOPA, Sydney Olympic Park Association or something. If you're listening, you're probably not, but open up. Open up level 4. It's going to rain. Let people sit under cover. I think they've done that before too. I think when it does pour down, they do actually open up the higher sections. You can go up and sit under cover. So, first world problems. Right, into our tips for this week. First up, we've got the Penny Panthers. We've all gone the Panthers up against...
South.
My app's closed. South, thank you. Wooden spoon South. It feels like 2000 and when they come back in the comp, 2002. It feels like 2002 again. The Rabbitohs are the joke of the comp again. Can't say I dislike it, but obviously Jason Demetrio being sacked this week. People always talk about the coach bounce back, but I think they'll be in all sorts. As what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a bit tough. Obviously, JD just being sacked. I don't really know what's going on with their situation. I think Ben Hornby's taking over as the assistant, but no idea what he's capable of. It's a tough time to come into the interim job, though, when you've got a date against the three-time reigning premiers in front of you. So I think this could be a bit of a tough game for them. I'm expecting at this stage it to be a bit of a blowout. If there's a bit of rain around tomorrow, I'd probably bring the margin in a little bit, but not expecting too much from Souths, unfortunately.
12.5 start on the Chase Bet app. Although Cleary's out. That might have come in because Cleary, I don't know if you guys saw tonight.
Say what?
Yeah, Cleary's been ruled out. Yeah.
That must have been the team, the 24-hour team update. They must have dropped that bomb.
So, wow. Now that Cleary's out, there's still $4.20. They must have been way higher. Surely that's come in since then, but I don't know.
I'd say probably might have been around like 16.5, 17.5 potentially. Mm. So I'd say it's come in maybe about 4 points.
That's crazy.
Where is this game? As a core as well?
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't tear up the turf. It seems to be all right. Modern day grass. Modern day... What are the people called that work on grass? Not greenskeepers, obviously.
Groundskeepers.
Is it groundskeepers? It is a groundskeeper. I'm sure there's a more complicated word, isn't there? Help me out, Rob.
Yeah, one word out of the S. Isn't it just groundkeeper? I don't know.
I don't know. Do not touch Willy. Good advice. We've all gone Manly against the Raiders. Got the Raiders. $4.50, but yeah. Tommy Turbo playing for Manly at home. I'll pretty much always tip them.
I think DC pretty... getting off his charge as well, I think, helps a lot.
That's a huge in. And Olakau'atu's out, which is a big loss for Manly as well. I just want to go back to the South game, guys, and get
Curator. Thank you, Matt. Matt on Facebook. Curator. That's the word I was looking for.
Isn't that for the cricket?
I don't know. That's like cricket wicket.
Yeah, it's a cricket
person.
I just want to go back to my brag. My hot take for the year was that Souths were going to miss the eight. So just remember that. That was my hot take for the year. But back to Manly. I feel like Canberra cannot play that bad again. And you know, they've had a week to get used to not having Fogarty there. So I think this will be closer than a lot of people think. They match up pretty well. They got Canberra got big forwards, big fast backs. They played so badly last week. I do expect a bounce back. And I think Olakau'atu is a big loss on that right edge. So, again, I'll probably go Penrith 1-12 and Manly 1-12.
Righto, Broncos and Chookies. Roosters, $3. Wow. Yeah, we've all gone Broncos. I mean, we're obviously scarred from last week still. They're back at home on a Friday night, as usual. Yeah, Broncos at Suncorp on a Friday night.
They've got Mam and Cobbo back as well, Josh.
They'll probably win the comp, unfortunately, in my opinion.
But the Roosters did beat them in Vegas. Just remember that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just
I feel like maybe the shorter, the narrower field up in Vegas suited the Roosters a bit more.
Perhaps.
There's a lot of power in the Broncos outside backs, and I think they'll be able to let loose a bit more up in Brisbane. I don't know if there's weather forecast in Brisbane, though.
Yeah, less width always helps the Cox.
This will be the best game of the weekend. I mean, obviously, I've got to tip the Broncos, but I would not be surprised one bit if the Roosters won, because they still have a bloody good team. Like, you look at them, look at a man, and you think, you know, like, there's not much difference at all between the teams. But I went the Broncos because I think they lost in Vegas. They're due to get one back on them. No other reason.
Yeah, 7.5 start. That's pretty, pretty hefty.
I'd be going the Roosters with that start.
Titans, we'll go on the Storm, playing against the Titans on the Gold Coast. $4.90 for the Titans, $1.18 for the Storm. 13.5 start in this one.
That's too much start.
You reckon?
Way too much start. The Gold Coast have played really well the last 3 weeks. They just got beat by Manly. They had a golden point game with Canberra, and they beat New Zealand. I just think that's way too much. I know Melbourne have, you know, they can put 50 on any team, but again, I just think Melbourne are a different team when they're away from home.
Still a much bigger test, though, than what they have faced the last few weeks. Although, I'll credit to them, the win against the Warriors on their home deck was a really solid win and very, very well deserved.
And from 12-0 down as well, Aaron. And I mean, Manly go pretty well. They only just lost to Manly, so their form's not that bad.
Slay Batty on YouTube, back on the grass thing. Horticulturalist. That reminds me, do you remember the ad in the 90s at the footy?
sorry, Josh.
The footy show did an anti-ad. It was like an old guy and a son.
Alan Seal, isn't it? That's with the lisp, like me.
You're quite the horticulturist, aren't you? Yeah. That's all that word reminds me of, is that I don't know what it means. I assume it's something to do with gardening, but it just reminds me of Sturlo and doing that anti-ad. Good times. I've recently gone down YouTube rabbit holes watching old footy shows, especially obviously Terry Hill passing away as well. God, it was good. The 90s were great. I sound like an old man. What are we up to? Tigers and Doggies. So Tigers, $2.95. So... give us a chance. $2.95, 7.5 start. I don't know. As you and I have tipped him, Rob's gone, more with the brain. We're kind of going with the heart. Trying to speak it into existence. I know they're playing better and they're not the Dogs of old, but I just feel like we're due. The boys should be hungry and rip in. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose. I wouldn't be surprised if we won. But $2.95 is, I thought we'd be a little bit shorter than that. But what are your thoughts, Az? We've obviously talked about this game lottery.
When the preliminary odds came out, we were a little bit shorter than what we are now. I think we opened at maybe around the 260, 270 mark. don't know what has happened, like that's caused us to balloon out a little bit. Maybe it's a player who's come back for the Dogs, potentially. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure why we're so despised outsiders. I think the start for us is 7.5 or something like that. If Appy plays, I'm pretty confident in tipping us. I think this is a game that we can definitely win, and hopefully we do, because it will help to put a little bit of distance between us and the Spoon, which is the main thing we want. But if Appy doesn't play, I will likely be changing my tip to the Dogs, I think.
Just seeing on other apps what they're paying as well. But yeah, it's pretty similar. Rob, any more thoughts with this one? Yeah, all around the $3 mark.
Oh, look, I just think at those prices, I think obviously we're better value. Like, I don't think we should be that high up, $2.80, $2.90. But again, it's just, I feel like just marginally, Canterbury are a bit more settled than us. Like, we're getting there, but I just trust their back line movements a little bit more than ours. But again, I still think we've got a big edge in the front row. So it really depends how this game's played out. If we can cut out the silly errors that we made last week, we've got to be a chance of winning it. But again, we need to be who we have to be, not who we are at the moment. You know, we just got to find a way to get a win. And if we can get a win, we've actually got a couple of, you know, we've got a pretty good looking draw the next couple of games. So if we can get a win and get a little bit of confidence, you know, we might be able to pull off three in a row, which we haven't done since Gary Jack was fullback for Balmain or something. So we need to get on a roll of wins, but I know we can win. Until we win, I just don't trust us right now.
Any thoughts for a try scorer bet, boys? Who for us? I'm just looking at the odds.
So they've got to be Tigers.
Yeah, just obviously, like it's a bit of a coward's move to say Charlie Staines or something, but I don't know.
Josh Addo-Carr, there's the next Tiger.
I meant current Tiger.
I like the look of Justin Ollam in this one. I don't think the Bulldogs' back line is that strong defensively. Ollam scored a couple of really nice tries against the Sharks and the Eels in the two games we won. And I think the Bulldogs' backs, particularly on that side of the field, aren't quite as strong. So I don't mind the look of Ollam for a try.
If I was picking our guys, Josh, my number one choice would be Steph. I think I really
750
like with Appy's deception. Like if Appy doesn't score himself, and they're worried about Appy, and two blokes converge on Appy, he's just going to give a saloon passage to Steph. So Steph would be my number one. And even though Jareem had a really poor game, I thought last Saturday night, he's just got enough potency to get through the line and be the difference there. And I'm hoping Galvin can really create a lot this week. Like he's playing the Bulldogs. So I think you're going to get the best version of Lockie Galvin this week as well. But yeah, for me, Steph and Buller.
Steph's $34 for first try scorer.
That's a good bet.
First Tigers
Dragons
scorer, wasn't he? But it was first. It wasn't first of the game, was it? Dragons scored first, didn't they?
Dragons scored first.
Yeah, Dragons so scored first after their first set.
So yeah, so maybe first Tigers try scorer. But yeah, I like that. I like the idea, Steph crashing, especially if it's wet too. Yeah, just crash. Just give me the ball, Steph. Crash over. What game are we up to? Cowboys and two of the Cowboys playing. Sorry,
Dolphins.
Get out of that. The Dolphins. Dolphins $3.20 as well. Cowboys at home. We've all gone the Cows in this one, as.
Yeah, the Cows beat the Dolphins back in round one at Suncorp, and they've had a little bit of an unlucky string of results, I feel. I think they're likely to bounce back in this one. I'm still not 100% sold on the Dolphins without Hammer. I think he's only going to be missing this game and maybe one more, potentially coming back to play us in Magic Round. So, I'm still not 100% convinced on the Dolphins. So I think the Cowboys at home after a narrow loss to the Panthers is the rather safe bet here.
Thoughts, Roberto?
Yeah, I have to agree with that, guys. Look, I love it when even though it's the week before and has nothing to do with your next opponent. I love it when teams finish really well against a team. And Penrith looked like they had that game wrapped up with basically, what, a 20-point lead, and the Cowboys fought back and could have nearly won it. So the way they finished that game, if they bring that into this week, even though Queensland derbies are pretty close, I think the Cowboys are a pretty good thing this week.
Sorry, I was just looking at the Instagram, just who's joining us. Like I said earlier, if you're watching on the Instagram, head over to YouTube so I can bring your comments up. I've seen a few. A friend from the Paracave podcast, I saw he's on the Instagram stream. A few people in there. And actually, a current West Tigers player jumped in too, was watching us just quietly.
Hey, Aaron, did you want to tell the Paracave podcast what your tip was? Is that tip you gave us on Messenger was earlier today?
Oh, oh yeah. I had a little bit of a joke with the boys when we were sending our tips through to Josh that Para aren't looking too good with no Gutho and Moses for the time being. So I said the bye to beat Para.
He was all-time great guest for us, but yeah, it's
he was a great guest.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Definitely have him back on for the second last round of the year.
Last round.
The second last year, wasn't it? Why am I getting that confused? No, they no, have.
We only played them once last.
We have a bye second last, don't we?
Yep.
That's why I'm getting confused. It's a bye second last. Knights Warriors. So this is the closest in terms of betting. $2.45 in the Knights is the shortest. It's the only team below $2.95 for an underdog. And I've tipped the Knights because they're at home. Based on no research, just the Knights are at home. And just that, I know they haven't got Ponga, but I don't know. I'm just having a crack here. I love the Wires, but yeah, I'm going the Knights in this one based on zero expertise. I know my number's a little bit higher than the other boys there on the score, but this is literally guessing, and I'm throwing it on the Knights. What about you boys? Why are you going the Wilds?
For me, it's, again, like just what I said before about the other games, the Wilds finished really strongly, like they got off to a 12-0 lead, then I think they were down 27-12 before launching a comeback, and they probably should have come back and beaten the Titans. And I didn't like the way the Knights finished the game last week. Like, if there was another 2 or 3 minutes, the Dolphins would have won. They got 2 tries in the last 3 minutes. So, look, it is a hard game to tip, but I'll actually go a 1-pointer here. I'll go with Sean Johnson winning field goal.
Not too bad. This is a tough one for me. Obviously, the odds make it obvious that this is a fairly tough one. I've gone with the Warriors because they've obviously not been that great the last few weeks. And if they want to be a team that gets back to the finals, even like top eight, let alone top four, this is a game that they really need to win. They beat the Knights at home. I think it was a fairly close game, maybe what, round 4 or 5 or something like that. So,
yeah,
fairly recent as well for a rematch here. So I think the Warriors can get the job done. Like I said, if they want to be in the finals, this is basically a must-win game for them, because both of these teams, I think, are on the same number of wins. The Warriors just have the advantage of the extra point from their draw with Manly. But yeah, this is the loser of this game could find it rather challenging to make up some distance. Obviously, there's still a lot of time left in the season, but this could be one of those pivotal matchups for the bottom half of the eight.
And the Shire Derby to finish the weekend. We've all gone the Sharkies, heavy favourites against the Dragons. This game sold out, apparently. I don't know what the capacity of Shark Park is at the moment, but yeah, that one's sold out, which is pretty cool. Always good. You mentioned earlier in the show, Rob, always a bit of fight, bit of fire in this one.
Oh, they hate each other, and I don't know if you boys have come across it, but Shane Flanagan said after the Roosters game, he's penciled this game in since late last year, and he just had that look on his face. Yeah, had the look on his face. If he can translate that look into his 17 players that go out there. Look, I don't have enough guts to tip St. George, because as well as St. George have played this year, they're not trustworthy. They get flogged or they win big. But I actually really think they can knock off the Sharks. And I know the Sharks had a big win against Canberra, but the Roosters, the Dragons aren't going to show up like the Raiders did. They'll have a red hot crack, and especially after having 60 put on them. Every time the Dragons get thrashed, they bounce back and win. So I've been a little bit gutless tipping the Sharks, but in my heart, I really want to tip the Dragons, but just don't trust them enough.
13 and a half start, the Dragons?
Yeah, I think that's immoral. That's just, anyway, it'll come back to bite me next week, but but I think it's a special.
New South Wales Cup this week, they are before first grade. So if you're heading to a core, they're playing at 12:40. Stafford Toa is playing at fullback. Who else we got? Lob City on the wing. Jaden Sullivan in the halves. Jackie Simpkin at halfback. Kepawa's in the back playing. Kepawa's playing back row. Talanda Silva coming off the bench. So, as anyone in the cup side that you're going to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Stafford goes at fullback. He's obviously replacing Luke Lally'i, who I think is one of the other players who got suspended out of that last game. So that's an interesting one there. Hopefully we see a bit more development from Alex Lobb too. Like I think someone said, he's a little bit of a way off first grade based on the game last week. I think that might have been you, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to keep seeing Talanda Silva do well, because I think he's got a lot of potential coming off the bench for us in number 14.
Yeah, I'd love to see Talon back in first grade by the end of the year as well. Jersey Flegg are playing 7 o'clock Friday night at Belmore. So if you, Friday night, want to watch our young kids going around, head out to Belmore. I think can you catch a train to Belmore at the moment? I know that... What game was it where they were showing the workers on the line watching the footy? But
that would have been when they were playing the Titans, I think.
Yeah, that was quite pretty funny. Righto, to finish, Patreon, Discord, what do I call it? The rants. Our guys have left their rants in the Discord, and I promised on Monday night that we'd get to them. Shane Collett, he said, good on Benji for ignoring that ridiculous question posed to him last night about Campbelltown. I'm really getting sick of people blaming our losses on where we play. Grass is grass. Both games, the crowds was taken out of the game somewhat with early tries from the opposition. It snowballs from there. End of story. Had West been up 16-0, I can guarantee a different atmosphere. It happens everywhere. We lost 10 in a row at Campbelltown because we haven't been good enough in the day. Simple as that. I take my hat off to everyone that went yesterday. Obviously, he did this the day after the game, as I didn't expect it to sell out. Yeah, I think Leichhardt definitely gives us that little bit of extra, but yeah, to say the Campbelltown, yeah, but just the team is lost everywhere. We said it, we covered it pretty much Monday night, but anyone got anything extra to add on what Shane said there?
No, totally agree with Shane. I couldn't believe that it was a sellout. I actually expected a crowd of about 8,000 to 9,000, not 17,500 or whatever it was. So, well done for everyone to getting out there, and let's, keep doing it whenever we get out to the suburban grounds and show people where we want our games played.
100%.
Yep.
I agree. Riffraff, aka Big Red Fan Club, said, we do some dumb shit to be in the fight with what we have. We have to be near perfect. That said, last year we probably have 50 put on us in the last 2 weeks. With that in mind, you can excuse us against the top two, but the next few weeks we have to show up a game activated big time. This season could be defined by what happens between now and Magic Round. And Riffs there in the live stream as well, coming in from Florida. What time is it there, Riff? It must be early morning, I assume. Nearly 10 o'clock Sydney time. It must be early morning East Coast time. Appreciate you joining us again. Matt MC said, just finished watching the Panthers-Cowboys game. Cowboys received some favorable calls in the second half, something you expect a home side to get. It seems to be the polar opposite for our side at Campbelltown. So, Anyone got any anger left over the officiating from Saturday night?
I think Aaron's got a few things he wants to say, doesn't he, still?
Yeah, a couple of...
I went to the to West Campbelltown Club after the game, and I watched the first half there, and I kind of listened to the second half. So I can't really comment on the decisions they got, because I actually haven't watched the second half of that game. So I'll have to trust Matt there if he said that the Cowboys were getting some favourable calls.
I've just been watching the Lakers 5 games in a row. Don't get me started. Like the last week, I've just been watching both my sides get shit whistles, but. Boozer, mate, the Lakers are going to Cancun. Sucked in. Sorry to any Lakers fans listening, but I have to.
Yeah, just had to get that one in there.
Yeah,
I could keep this going for another half hour because he's so biased about this officiating. I watched the same game and I saw it the other way. But we won't do half an hour of it. Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, look up the three throw attempts one side to the other for the whole series. And not to mention... It's the end of the show. I can talk a bit of basketball. If you look up the stats of free throw advantage over the opposition, the Lakers is like 3 times as much as the second highest in the league. The league wanted them in the finals. So I get it. They're the 1/3 of the basketball fan base. LeBron, blah blah blah. But unlucky.
Jamal Murray said no.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
I love it when my hook catches it. It's just perfect. Landed right in the spot. Reeled him in. Got him wound up.
Right.
Well done. Doesn't take too much sometimes, does it?
I'll show this passion on Saturday afternoon, I promise, for our beloved Tigers, which we'll review on Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Anyone got anything else to add? Rob Shadamas, you'll give us some pony tips for probably on Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I'll get something on Friday. I think we're going to be getting some, like, a really, really, really wet track at Hawkesbury this week. So I'll just wait and confirm that that's going to be the case, and we'll go from there.
Riffraff says 7:40 a.m. They are waking up. We're like a morning radio show.
Get on my 13 and a half, Riffraff. They won't go lie down. They'll have a good crack.
He's in America. Can he bet on rugby league over there?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Miami. Get on his team.
On the heat, right.
Get on the heat. Porzingis is out. I think 13 and a half is ridiculous.
Oh, Boston been taken, at least taken to 7 or been done. I know you're a Celtics fan, Rob, but they're the Parramatta Eels of the NBA. So
I'm not a Celtics fan. I just like to see the Celtics win because my wife goes for the Celtics and that makes my life a lot easier.
Right. Okay. As anything before we say goodnight to Big Dog?
Not too much. Just looking forward to the game. Hope to see some people out there. Anyone who wants to brave the potential downpour that we might be getting. Also, don't forget your Chase Bet spiel. Josh, you haven't done that one yet.
My what spiel, sorry?
Your Chase Bet spiel, the gamble responsibly one. You haven't done that yet.
Oh, you just said it, Aaron.
Yeah. 1-800-846-848-848. Or gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thanks, Az.
That's the one.
If you didn't mention it, they probably would have went straight through the keeper, but thanks for that. Righto, guys. And we'll see you, Az and I will see you Saturday afternoon. And we'll see you Monday night on the YouTube. For those, if you're on the Instagram stream there, please head over to YouTube. Give us a subscribe, please, if you're on the YouTube. Now, please give us a like, subscribe, share, do all the good things. Help us with the algorithm. Get the show out there. We appreciate your undivided loyalty despite the team not getting the wins in the last few weeks. Fingers crossed. We want to celebrate a win Monday night. Come on, boys. Go the Tigers.
Come on, Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.